And then he said, don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems. Wish for more skills.
I can't catch a break, guys.
Yeah.
Get them the fuck away from me. I can't be around those guys.
People think, oh, well, cleaning your room, that's just a cliche. It's like, yeah, really, eh? Just go ahead and try it.
If people had any idea how powerful sleep is for healing from anything, and the fact that it's free.
My mind is absolutely bulletproof, solid as a rock.
Podcast.
Nice to have you on the podcast today. Today I want to talk to you about three key things. First one is going to be why it is so important to have a plan in terms of food and in terms of nutrition. Two, if you've got any tips for our guys in terms of meal prep and again to help them stay on track. And then finally, protein powder, what it is and why people should be taking it.
Fantastic. Sounds absolutely awesome. These topics are super, super important, especially the first one. The first one's probably actually going to go some way of answering the other two as well, if you get it right. So yeah. We'll definitely start off with the planning side of things for sure. So jump straight in.
Yeah, let's go structure it in. So why do you think it's so important to have a plan?
Perfect. So this thing, right? So it helps in so many different ways. And again, there's like a million and one different angles we can approach this from. So in the past we've had questions like, for example, you know, I'm going on holiday next week, how do I plan my nutrition so that whilst I'm on holiday I don't come back like 6 stone heavier or something like that, which obviously isn't going to happen. But you know, this the thing, that's fine, there's nothing wrong with having a plan for those 7 days or 14 days or 10 days or whatever whilst you're away. But what I'd have sooner happened was having the plan starting like literally 6 weeks earlier. And having a bit of a heads up then, so we can actually start getting planning before the holiday even gets there. So you could have actually maybe lost an extra, let's say you're using a pound a week at the minute on average, and you're really happy at that, you're high energy levels, recovery's going fine, sleep quality's fine, happy days, right? But on the lead up to the holiday, just as a one-off, you're going to try and lose any weight that you could potentially gain on top of that as well. So you might want to have the plan of losing an extra pound per week, for example, just on the run up to the holiday. So yeah, it might push you a little bit more. You might have a little bit more temptations and cravings going off there, but it's a normal part of the process if you want to accelerate results. So what I'm trying to say is you could have got to that holiday and literally had an extra £6. You could have lost 12 pounds instead of six. Yeah. So if you do go away for 2 weeks and put £3 on a week and literally just like live at the buffet table constantly eating, like you can literally do that if you wish, because by the time you've got back, you've lost all that weight that you put on anyway before you even got to the holiday. So having a plan, again, it doesn't necessarily mean just that 7 days, although we will go into that shortly in a moment. But you know, when people say a plan, they just think, oh, I'll sit down on Sunday and try and work out what I'm going to have over the next 7 days. That's fine. That's not a problem at all. But also just think about the bigger picture here as well. Just think of it over the course of a year. So let's say there's 52 weeks in the year. Let's say, for example, probably a couple of weeks you're going to be off track, maybe in around the Christmas New Year period, maybe in and around, you know, let's say you have at least one holiday per year with the family, you go away for 2 weeks all inclusive or whatever, you know, whatever you do. Obviously, I'm just picking random examples here. You plug in your own version of what happens in your life. So don't worry, that's cool. That leaves us 48 other weeks to accelerate as much as possible. And of course, you're not going to be perfect for that length of time anyway. So even if we had like literally 10% of the year are just not write-off weeks, like let's maybe not relegate it to that, but at the same time, really super challenging weeks that either you're not going to be thinking about nutrition as much as normal, or it's going to be intensively difficult, even if you are thinking about nutrition in great depth. So over the course of the year, that's still like, let's say 6 weeks. It doesn't really, you know, over the course of a year, it just doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But because you've got that long-term thing of before we get to the holiday, I'm going to try and buffer anything that happens before we even get to Christmas, I'm going to do the total opposite of what everybody else does. Gets to December and thinks, oh, well, we're on the run down to Christmas. We're winding down now. So new year, new me. I don't care what happens between now and Christmas and new year. Fantastic. Let's jump on back in January and start again and get rid of all the problems that we've just caused. We do it the opposite way around. We solve those problems before you even get to January. That's what having a plan does. So your life's like 20 times easier just by having that bit of foresight.
Yeah.
So the other thing is as well, obviously when it comes to the week to week stuff, you've just got to think, the amount of times that we hear, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, Stephen, you know, let's say, for example, somebody that they're in a job or let's say like they go away for work and they get to Sunday and they check in and they say, I had a really good week apart from Thursday because I had to work away and I wasn't in control of my nutrition. Again, this is where the plan comes into play, because we have to have that foresight again. We have to start thinking the Sunday before that even happens, what can we get in place? If you're completely and utterly out of control of your nutrition, look, I get it. There's, you know, it's a really important partnership meeting for a company merger or something that literally they're providing the food or something. You've got no control. I get it. It's not a problem. So we've just got to think, what can we do the other 6 days, the other 6.5 days maybe, to negotiate any of them problems that potentially be occurring? So what I mean by that is if you know it's going to be crappy, calorie dense, beautiful, like, you know, creamy, I don't know, curries or something like that, or like, you know, full of peppercorn sauce and steaks and all stuff like that. Look, don't worry about that day. It's only one day, but maybe we could shave off, let's say, I don't know, 50 calories per day. On the other days, there's 300 calories you've saved, and 50 calories is, just to put that into perspective, like half a slice of bread.
Yeah.
So you're not really going to notice that. But if you do it over the week, it accumulates and it snowballs a bit. So that little business meeting that you had, or trip away, or working away, whatever that thing is that you've had to negotiate, if you have a plan in place, you can solve that problem before you even get there. So I've got two examples there of like how to do that on a weekly basis, and also how to do that on like a bit of a helicopter overview macro type basis, looking at the bigger picture. And doing those things in combination are really important. So
From my perspective, that would be as well, in terms of having a plan. I think the key thing is, if you don't have a plan, what happens is people allow their emotions to dictate their diet. So then everyone becomes, if you kind of leave the house the first thing in the morning and you don't know what's for breakfast, or you don't know what's for lunch, you don't know what's for dinner, it's kind of like, oh, sure, just see how I feel. And it's like, if you're going to have a stressful day at work, you know, so we really want to remove the emotions from the decision-making process and use kind of more logical, kind of goal-based decisions instead. I find it's going to be a much better strategy for people.
Definitely. I totally agree. And this is the thing with nutrition. It's a completely unique entity in itself, in the sense that, you know, as part of this journey, you know, you're not really emotionally attached as such to press ups or something. You know, it's just like one of the things that you have to do. Whereas when it comes to the nutrition side of things, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can think of meals and it can have a myriad of emotional effects on you. So it could be, you know, if I think, let's use pizza as the example. I use this like a million times in a million different ways. But when I was growing up, we used to go to church on a Saturday, believe it or not. When I was growing up, my mum and dad, and they used to take us there. Used to go to the pub with my grandma, take her, because that's what she wanted to do afterwards, and we did that for an hour. Then we'd come home, we'd have a takeaway as a family, and, you know, sit and watch telly. So, again, it's just pizza, but for me, there's so many other emotional attachments to that. It brings back memories of, like, growing up and living in the old house that we grew up in and all that sort of thing. So that's, like, one example. It's not just food. It's actually a complete emotional attachment that we've got to those things. So you're absolutely right, and this is one of the biggest things, really, when it comes to planning. If you sit down on a Sunday, and if you keep it super simple, right? So let's say, for example, you're having 1,500 calories per day, and you know that it's probably going to work best for you to have three meals per day. So simple maths, 500 calories per meal. Again, these numbers could fluctuate, just for example's sake. But let's go with that. So what you're going to do is you're going to think, what 7 breakfasts am I definitely going to have? That is definitely 500 calories or less in that meal. Same with your lunch, same with your evening meals. And by the way, probably 50% of the meals you're already having are going to fit that bill anyway. It's not as though you have to think of a new, you know, literally 21 new meals every single week multiplied by 52 weeks of the year. Nobody does that, so you don't have to be that complicated about it. So once you've got that plan in place, like you said, you get up in the morning, there's no, oh, my stomach's rumbling, I feel a bit crappy, I'm. Oh my God, the kids were up screaming last night and they've got a bit of cold and they needed help and blah, 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 oh, this, that, and none of that's like swaying your decision in any way, because you go to the fridge, you've already got your smoothie made up. Like you go to the fridge, you've already got your lunch ready to go. So you're not going to be on your dinner break thinking, oh, my boss is an absolute idiot, I'm so stressed today, I just want to go and pig out and have like a massive Subway or something, make it a foot long and a bloody cookie on the side and everything. I'm so stressed today. Like, you don't have any of that. You know what you're having already. So you know, that's like salmon salad with like a, I don't know, homemade flapjack or something, and I don't know, some juice or something. So whatever it is, like, you've picked, everything's already mapped out for you, so you don't have to let your emotions dictate those foods, for sure. You know, you're a human being, your emotions are going to dictate what you do a lot of the time, and, you know, having that plan in place just overrides that brain of yours, of everybody's, really. And allows you to stay on track.
And it's even just the relation, as you said there, people tend to maybe complicate it a little bit more, make it a little more complicated than it really is. As you said, most people tend to stick, from my experience, to the same three or four breakfasts, the same three or four lunches, the same three or four dinners on repeat over and over and over again. So it's not, as you said, it's not, you know, 52 times 7, you know, 350 plus meals you have to think of here. It's like, let's pick three or four breakfasts, let's pick three or four lunches, let's pick three or four dinners, and let's stick with them, and go to the bottom of maybe taking out the weighing scales and just kind of being able to eyeball and kind of be able to roughly estimate. It means, like, you know, using the old palm size for protein, the tongue for the fats, the little cup for the carbs, you know, keep it simple like that. It doesn't have to be this kind of, this big kind of difficult job. It can be fun, because again, choosing what to eat is a luxury, and it's very empowering. But the next
Definitely.
One I'd say is the, in terms of meal prep then, so we have any kind of practical tools, tips or strategies. So on that Sunday, like how should somebody go about it? You know, get out a big page, should they be doing some meal prep?
Definitely. So this is the thing, there's a million one different ways of doing this. So, you know, some people try to demonize things like having, you know, the Tupperware boxes with like, you know, chicken breasts, like some rice and broccoli and that, and taking that to it. That's not like a wrong way of doing things. Definitely not. There's nothing wrong with doing that at all. The thing for me is making sure that every single meal, especially at the weekend, you create, just think, is it possible to make one, or like, let's say 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different portions of the same meal, and it only take maybe an extra 10 minutes to cook. So for me, like on a weekend, I always do something like, you know, one of my favorites during the colder months is like a sausage casserole. And it's a Hairy Biker's recipe. We've used it for like 3 or 4 years. It's just incredible. And again, what I do is I think, do you know what? I'm just going to set an extra 15, 20 minutes aside. Yes, I'm going to have to chop up 2 onions instead of one. Yeah. And like, you know, chop up like 8 rashers of bacon instead of 4 and stuff like that. And look, the extra effort means that we've got meals sorted literally for the next 3 weeks. So that meal on that day sorted, and we've also got 2 sets of meals for the 2 following weeks to be in the freezer as well. So that's the evening meal sorted for at least one day per week for an extra 10 or 15 minutes. Mm. Now, there's loads of other strategies as well. So let's say, for example, we've got like a George Foreman grill in the house.
Yeah.
So it could get to Sunday and you think, do you know what? I'm going to have some. So I'll give an example. So for today, I had some just chicken with some hoisin sauce and bit of garlic and ginger and a few other chopped up veg and spring onion and stuff like that in a wrap. Nice and simple, literally takes 8 or 9 minutes to cook. What I could have done actually is got the George Foreman out instead, and what we could have done is actually put 4 chicken breasts on there instead of 1. It takes the exact same actually amount of time to cook. Cut them in half, like make sure that they're, you know, there's a large surface area and like not a big thick chicken breast, cut it in half, cooks even quicker. Fantastic. So now you're just using your head a bit, and then you get to the fridge, or you know, on Monday morning, you think, oh, brilliant! I've got like 2 chicken breasts already waiting for me. I'll have the other one on Tuesday as well. So you could have like some Nando sauce or something, and do some rice with it, and some peas and sweet corn stuff, and some, I don't know, roasted veg. Brilliant! You've got some like spicy Nando style chicken or something like that, but homemade. Day 2, you know, you've got chicken, you've got that final chicken breast left sat in the fridge. Perfect. Again, you could just throw some, I don't know, it could be like some mango chutney and some, I don't know, some like Indian herbs and spice or something. And again, you could have that with like some pita bread or something, some like yogurt or whatever. Perfect. Like, you know, that again, you've had 3 incredible meals there that are just absolutely beautiful. But you've literally spent no additional time in actually cooking the chicken in any way. Whereas other people don't, again, it goes back to the planning thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get to the, you know, you're sitting down and cooking. Some people just think about that particular meal. They don't think, actually, I'll just put 3 chicken breasts on here. Like that makes, it's no additional time. You get that planning mode engaged, happy days, you're sorting the next 3 days worth of lunches out in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Also smoothies, we've got like again, obviously being a bit of a nutri nerd myself, we like to invest a little bit in our equipment in the house. So we've got like a really good quality blender in the house, so it, you know, it'll do everything from grinding up coffee beans to making soups to doing smoothies to, you know, you name it. You can use it for a million one different things. So something like that. Oh, Shane, I'm super short on time in the morning. Like, I don't have time to be having breakfast. Smoothie takes 30 seconds. How's it going? We've got visitors.
There's Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
That's the top class advice, Shane. I'm definitely a huge fan of the batch cooking, as you said. It's kind of just... it's really for a lot of people. Again, it's kind of, it's not necessarily just fitness and saying nutrition stuff that struggle. People really struggle with, I find, like time management and stuff like that, essentially. So really kind of taking this time out, planning your week and kind of stacking these tasks on top of each other to really be as effective with your time as possible is such a useful strategy for people. And I'd say my buddy George Foreman in the house, I love it.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I would say on that as well. So do you know when you're creating that plan? So what we do, we've got like a little, a chalkboard area in the kitchen. We're not using it at the minute because, you know, we need to get it all cleaned and all that sort of thing. But otherwise, I'd go downstairs and show you. But we usually have like a grid, and it just says like, you know, evening meals, and we list about 5 or 6 meals. Same with the lunches, same with the breakfasts. So do you know when you go shopping and you completely forget that? Oh my god, I plan to make that like fish curry or something, and the fish just gets left in there and it goes to waste. Like, it just goes in the bin because it took was just to write it on a board on the fridge or something. Completely forgot. We've got all the ingredients for XYZ meals. The other thing is as well, so you've got like 6 different meals. We always leave 1 spare. So we never do 7. We never plan 7 out. And the reason for that is because I know that I'm not going to have lunch in the house 7 days in a row. I just know I'm not going to do that. I could be out for a meeting. I could have a baby Shay or something for the day, and I'm on daddy daycare duty for the day, or whatever it is. You know, I might be eating out that day. So whatever it is, that 1 day or 2 days just allows me to go, you know, have a think about it, make sensible options, but, you know, we're not wasting anything that way. So, that works really well. And it's a list. It's a menu. It's not like you don't have to have, like, Mondays dinner on Monday. You might not fancy that day. Have what you want. As long as it's from that list, you're all good to go.
Happy days. Having grocery shops and shopping lists can be very useful, especially because there's nothing worse than when you kind of go and cook a dish and all of a sudden you're missing that kind of one key spice or something that you need, and then you throw it all in the bin and call the takeaway instead.
Yeah, and that goes for the chalkboard that we've got as well. So we don't just use it for the meal plan. We do it for exactly what you just said too. So let's say I do make that fish curry and we run out of cumin or something. You run out of cumin, that buggers up like 3 recipes next week if we don't get that. Yeah. So we just write it on the chalkboard. So that actually creates our shopping list as well.
Cool.
As you go through the week. So it gets to Sunday, you think, let's go shopping, or whenever you go. Brilliant. Like 75% of the shopping list is already done. So even that doesn't take any additional time. So yeah, loads of nutrient tips in one there.
Happy days. Hey, come on. And the last one, Shane, just want to talk about protein powder. That's one of the kind of big questions that we've been getting in the gym this week. My kind of stance on supplements is a supplement should supplement your diet if it's lacking. But if you've got a great diet, you don't necessarily need supplements. I would say, you know, chicken breasts are better than protein powder in some regard. Obviously, whey protein is designed specifically to kind of to kickstart the repair process, essentially. But what do you think about protein powder? I find it, because there's no cooking, there's no cleaning. It's such a useful thing to have maybe in the boot of the car, have one in the kitchen, you know, 1 or 2 scoops, some milk or water, shake it up, chug it in, and it's easy peasy.
Yeah, it's really bad for you. Everybody's worst enemy. You're not allowed to have it. Look, don't worry about what anybody says about things like protein powders. Again, it's generally people saying, you know, like, you should just be getting all your protein from your meals, which, by the way, is absolutely true. You can do that if you wish. But what happens is, you know, some people are a bit short on time. Some people are at the beginning of their journey and they still need to learn a little bit more about nutrition and how to construct their meals and stuff like that. And it's the thing. So I'm a nutritionist and I've got like a big, massive like bag full of, what's it called? Impact Whey from myprotein.com. Like it's just perfect, cheap, easy. They've got a million different flavors. You can use it in desserts. You can use it in smoothies. Have it on its own or whatever, you know, as a normal protein shake. And it's just such an easy way of spending less than 100 calories and getting over 20 grams of protein in one go. Like that, it's just super easy. One of the disadvantages of food, which whey protein is a food, really, but
it's essentially milk.
Yeah, it's the protein section of milk without the rest of the milk stuff in a powder form. So, you know, drink milk, it's the same thing. But the only problem is with milk, you know, you have other bits and pieces in it, like the fats and the carbs and all that sort of thing. It's not a problem. It's just it increases the, you know, the calorie density of that particular, you know, glass or whatever. That therefore reduces the, you know, the amount of protein you're getting per serving. Whereas for 100 calories of just whey protein isolate or something like that, whey protein powder that I use, you're getting literally, like I say, over 20 grams, which is just like the highest amount of protein in one space, in one like supplement you possibly get. So if you're constantly short of your protein targets for the day and for the week, I have absolutely no problem whatsoever of recommending a basic whey protein powder. Make sure it's a good quality from a reputable brand. You know, don't be getting it off of, you know, Sally from the hairdresser or anything like that. But you just be going to some reputable place like myprotein.com. They're fantastic. All the products are tested as well on a regular basis for quality and stuff like that, so that they're not mixing bloody, I don't know, powder or something, whatever, like you flour with it or whatever other companies do. So yeah, you know, I have no problems with that whatsoever. And also, you know, it can help in lots of different ways as well. So I like to have like a little snack section in throughout my day. So, you know, if I'm just sat at the laptop and I've been doing the same boring stuff over and over again, sometimes you're just a bit bored and you think, yeah, I just fancy a snack. So, you know, I've got lots of options there. I could like nip to the shop and get a king size Mars bar or a Lion bar or something and just like frivol away like 300 calories or whatever it comes to, or I could just make myself a smoothie and have a whole like pint glass full of liquid. It's going to take me a little bit of time to have it, and it's less than 100 calories if you make it with water, and you can get some great flavors these days. So perfect. That's like part of my snack section as well. So there's loads of different ways of using it. Protein supplements are absolutely fine. I probably wouldn't recommend having it to form the whole of your protein intakes. The reason being is because you're going to miss out on other different, you know, micronutrients. Like, you know, if you're having beef or something like that, for example, you've got the additional B vitamins and lots of other bits and pieces in there as well, which maybe you don't get that with it when it comes to the whey protein. So there's other aspects. So if you get a bit of a blend of everything and use maybe 10 to 20% roughly, there's no real set guidance because there's nothing wrong with whey protein at all, but 10 to 15% of your protein intakes come from a supplement, that's not an issue at all. I've no problem with it.
So basically 10 to 15%, we're talking maybe one or two servings of protein powder per day is absolutely a-okay.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've had two or three, maybe three's pushing it a little bit, but again, you know, what does that even mean? I could have maybe got a better source of protein from, you know, chicken breast or something, and had a better, like, larger, more robust wrap for my lunch that's going to take longer to digest.
Yeah.
So there's another benefit as well. Whey protein is a very, very fast digesting source of protein. So that is a little bit of a disadvantage. Just got to think, you know, you're consuming calories. You might be, you know, quite hungry quite soon afterwards.
Whereas if you have super useful though post-workout.
Oh yeah, massively. So again, you know, this is another reason. I know it's a bit of a different topic, but you know, people say, oh, this is good for you, this is bad for you. Whey protein's good. Something else, let's say grenade bars or something, are bad. Like, that's naughty. It doesn't work like that. Whey protein can be fantastic in certain circumstances, and like anything, there's just pros and cons to it.
Yeah.
Just choose you at the right time to use it. Like after a workout, gets digested super quick, gets into those muscle tissue that's damaged super quick, and it, you know, your muscles get all the building blocks of amino acids and protein in general to make those repairs as soon as physically possible. So that's an ideal time to have it. And you can also do what I do and just have it as a snack. And you know, it's just one of those things. I'm just a bit bored. I'd sooner plan that and have that on the little chalkboard in the kitchen to have, rather than just think, oh, what do I fancy? And then I have like a flapjack from the corner shop and it's, oh right, 400 calories are gone. Why? What was the point in that?
I find it super useful, as you said, especially adding to smoothies. I think is really, really useful. It just really helps pack, because obviously it's hard to get a high protein smoothie. I usually throw a scoop of vanilla protein in there, maybe some berries, some nuts, or some peanut butter.
Yep.
Whip it up, and it's absolutely delicious.
Yep.
And frozen berries are great for the smoothies as well, because obviously the biggest problem I find with buying blueberries, strawberries, that kind of stuff is they go off in a couple of days. Get the frozen ones. It's almost like adding ice into your smoothie, makes it nice and chilled.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a nice cold smoothie in the morning, definitely. Yeah, one of the ones that I have is, again, I have the vanilla whey protein as well. I have it with milk, just so it's a better texture for like a smoothie in the morning. Plus, you know, if you've got 500 calories to spend in inverted commas on your breakfast, it doesn't matter if you're using milk or water. You don't have to worry about that stuff.
I like using for almond milk.
Yeah, so we use whole milk. We've got the little one in there. You know, we try and getting him as many calories as we can as he's growing and all that sort of thing. So again, it doesn't really make that much difference on the grand scheme of things. But again, almond milk's absolutely fine. So have that banana in there, teaspoon of peanut butter. If you're not using vanilla protein powder, you're using plain stuff, you can have like a bit of vanilla. I can never remember the difference. Is it vanilla essence, the good one? There's one that's not like a chemical one.
Yeah, I think it's vanilla essence is the one.
Yeah. And then what's the other one? Vanilla extract.
Yeah.
I can never remember the difference between two. But anyway, the good one of those that's not the chemical-based one, the actual proper vanilla extract's probably the one. And then it just tastes incredible in the morning. And again, I put like a whole handful of spinach in there because I hate the texture of spinach. Whack it in a smoothie. I can't taste it at all. It's just more nutrients for nothing, literally, every single morning.
Yeah. That's actually a great tip, just kind of hide the spinach and stuff in there, get some of the greens in, because you're right, you really don't taste it. The power of the berries and the flavour and the protein overpowers it.
Yeah, unless you're putting a whole leek in there or something, or like a whole stick of celery. Like, maybe not do that.
All right, cool, Shane. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. Hopefully, our members and our listeners found this to be very useful. What I would definitely recommend for our members is you have an entire presentation on meal prep and in our Facebook group. So I strongly encourage anybody who hasn't checked that video out to go give it a little look. If you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail. So the advice of myself and Nugent is to have a plan, take in a couple hours out this weekend, once you come up to shop and switch on the oven, get shopping, have a plan for the week.
Definitely, and if you know, if you're in the VIP group, just tag me in a post as well if you want any ideas or anything like that. Also, you know, feel free. I've got a whole Instagram page. Literally every single day of the week, I post at least one thing about what I've eaten today. And you know, obviously, I'm a bit of an expert now on making them look incredible as well, even if they don't in reality. Plenty of filters and stuff, so you can look at them and think, oh my god, I need that in my life this evening or at some point next week. Get it in your meal plan. Like, you know, you're more than welcome to do that.
Amazing, Shane. Listen, appreciate you taking the time. I hope we chat to you during the week.